Chris Brunas, co-leader of the Ohio Ag Manager team, is here. And Chris gets to be like our little guru on farm policy, I guess. Maybe that crystal ball.
I'm going to make a poor substitute for Carl Zuloff, but Carl was unable to be here today, and so he's shared his thoughts and notes with us, and we'll see what we can do. I do enjoy watching farm policy and the farm bill and as it's going along, and had the opportunity here this past few months to sit on a couple different farm bill listening sessions and visited with Sherrod Brown's ag intern, or whatever the right name is, from D.C. for a while. And so it is interesting to see, as this moves forward, what it's going to look like.
Oh, it's going to be fun, isn't it, about farm policy. So maybe we start where we're at. So let's look at this farm bill. How'd the current farm bill do, Chris? And when you start to look in hindsight as we go forward, what are we seeing from the farm bill?
I still remember advising farmers back in 2014 when we got this farm bill that Arc County looked the best for corn and beans, and if you were south of 70 PLC on wheat and north of 70, I think Arc County on wheat, just because of the base yields that we were working with.
If I can say, you look pretty smart there too, with the way it panned out.
Up to this point, I look pretty smart, but year one, and again, this is one of the problems that we have with the current farm bill, and I don't know the fix for it going forward, but how do we have one county that doesn't get payments and the rest of the counties around them do? For 2014, when we looked at October 2015, Defiance County got zero on their Arc County on corn, where much of the state was getting $65 to $70 an acre on corn. And so, you know, I think that's problematic. I now look at 2016. We're now coming up on 2016's payment here in October of 17. And where I'm at down in Chillicothe, Ross County is going to get $25, $26 an acre for soybeans, and none of our surrounding counties are getting a dime. And so, again, how is that possible? It's all math. I mean, it's the math makes that possible. But is that right? And I guess that's a question we really need to see if we can get a little bit more of that equity or resolved in the new farm bill.
From what we hear, though, the ARC PLC program, that safety net seemed to work. I know the dairy guys with the margin protection program were not
the dairy guys,
really thrilled about that.
The dairy guys, the cotton and peanuts, not here, but I mean, there were some programs in the current bill that didn't work as intended, and here in Ohio, the dairy would be the big one that just didn't pay as farmers were hoping it would, partly because the cost of commodities came down, and putting the corn into the cow, again, we weren't feeding $4 corn anymore, or we were feeding $4 corn instead of $5 corn. And so it didn't work but everything else seemed to work as it should have. I was playing around with the model the other day, and I could come up with just at this point for 17 and 18, one scenario where PLC on corn could pay as good as Arc County, but it's going to be hard for PLC to catch up. And matter of fact, if it does, that means we've got $3 corn, and I don't know if we want to go there. And if we go below $3, then Arc County is going to start paying for 17 into 18 next year anyway, and so then PLC will never catch up. So I think our advice was good, and, you know, to me, my thinking at the time is we had to get to year four where we were projecting originally that Arc County wasn't going to pay any longer, and now we're there. And so we've had time to make the adjustments in input cost and land rents and whatever we need to in our farm businesses to be able to get to where we're at now price-wise.
So there's, of course, a new administration.
New administration.
A lot of talk about changing and getting a farm bill done on time and, you know, tax reform, whatever it may be. So where are we on the status of discussions on this new farm bill? What do you think about, is it going to get done on time? Because the last one sure wasn't.
Well, actually, the last two didn't get done on time. We had extensions on both of the last farm bills for a year while they hammered out the new one. They started earlier this year, I'll say that much. But I think the whole tax reform is going to occupy a lot of time, and the farm bill is going to go to the back seat of that. I think even trying to figure out what a federal budget is for next year is going to occupy a lot of time. And so I'm not real optimistic that we're going to have a new farm bill in time. But again, we've started early enough. It could happen. I think we're in a better position now. And I think the other thing is I don't see this farm bill being drastically different. Dairy will be tweaked significantly. I think cotton, peanuts will be tweaked significantly. But our Arc County PLC, I don't see that being a whole new program that we have to learn in the next farm bill. I think it's going to be something very similar. Now, they're going to have to make some adjustments. Otherwise, we all should sign up for PLC on corn and soybeans and just camp there, because Arc County, with its current reference price, and it's not going to pay unless we go sub $3 corn, which I hope we don't. And so to me, it makes the decision easier. How they will tweak that, I think, is going to be interesting. What they're going to do, are they going to raise the reference price on Arc County a little bit so that it will now make a payment? But again, if they keep that same rolling average, that new reference price will become our four-year average price or five-year average price. And so it'll be interesting to see how they tweak that.
So, yeah, I guess the question was what are some other changes that might, what's the significant things that could happen in this farm bill coming up? Any other thing that you're hearing on the tea leaves a little bit?
Well, I mean, we just been talking about the commodity payments program, but let's talk about CRP. I know there is a push to try to increase the amount of conservation reserve acres out there, whether that will get funded. The other piece of the farm bill, I mean, your conservation payments, we just talked about CRP, but SNAP payments, again, there was a big desire to reduce the amount of SNAP payments going out through the farm bill.
So let me stop you there. SNAP? Why SNAP? And that's the food stamps you're talking about.
Food stamps, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Why is that in the farm bill?
Why is that in the farm bill? That's a good, great question. I'm not sure that I know the right answer. Philosophically, I used to argue, or at least make the point, that there's two ways to affect farm gate commodity prices. One is to reduce the supply, and the other is to increase the demand. And so logically, to me, it made sense for the food stamps program to be in the farm bill, because in essence, we're increasing demand for farm gate commodities by giving more money to those that are less wealthy and allow them to buy maybe a higher quality or a more amount of food. And that would increase the demand for food. So to me, it makes sense for it to be there from a supply and demand perspective, but it also makes sense for it to be there from a getting a bill through Congress perspective, because I believe without the food stamps or SNAP in the farm bill, we have a lot of our representatives and senators that don't have much agriculture in their districts, and it'll be hard for them to vote for supporting agriculture commodity prices and conservation and crop insurance.
Well, there you said a magic word that was just popping in my mind about crop insurance. Ben, we've shifted to a farm bill program that relies more on crop insurance. What do you see for crop insurance as we go forward?
I know there is some conversations out there wanting to make crop insurance actuarially sound. Basically, that there is no subsidy from the government going into crop insurance. In the conversations I've had with the legislative aides, I've advised them to look at that cautiously. And I guess the way I look at it, and again, this is my perspective, so it's not speaking for anyone in Washington, if we make crop insurance actuarially sound so that the farmers pay the true cost, and that it cash flows itself annually, the cost will go up. And I think I've seen a number about 9%. And so if the cost goes up, will it g- get to the point that farmers will walk away from it because it's getting too pricey. I think there are farmers that have already walked away from it that are later in their career, they have a good, healthy working capital, and they can survive a poor crop for 1 year. I think our younger farmers are not going to be able to walk away from it because of the lenders. The lenders will require it. But if they make it actuarially sound, it'll get more expensive. And then my comment is, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the federal government does with Texas and Florida and the agricultural losses there. Not all of that's going to be covered through crop insurance. And so will they make disaster payments? And so I guess that was my comment. You guys are going to bail, at least historically, Washington has bailed out agriculture when we've had these large natural disasters. Is that so different than what crop insurance is supposed to do now? So would you rather have a known cost, I'm going to spend so much on crop insurance subsidies, or an unknown cost, I'm going to have to come in and rescue family farms when we have this big disaster?
Okay, so I want to maybe jump back to you talking about conservation reserve programs and that. I've heard a little with the new administration, maybe not as much emphasis would be putting into some other conservation programs. What have you heard on that? And other titles, I guess, of the Farm Bill instead of Title I.
Well, in terms of conservation, I really haven't heard much. But, you know, if some of Trump's past decisions are any indication, I mean, the whole WOTUS rule all of a sudden went away, the waters of the U.S. And so, you know, he kind of reined in the EPA a little bit. And so, you know, I think that some of the conservation, it might be more difficult to get funding for that just because I'm not sure that's where Trump has his alliances, so to speak. I don't know how to better say that, but it's not on his top of his radar.
Now, also with the Farm Bill programs, we had that opportunity to choose between ARC and PLC. What do you think about possibility of Farm Bill programs giving farmers the choice when it comes to program entities that they're in?
Basically, the question is, will we get to choose again when we get a new Farm Bill? And I think historically the answer is yes, and I don't see anything in the tea leaves that would indicate otherwise. But I think there's a big but there. What happens if we don't get the 2019 Farm Bill written in time and they push our 2014 and they extend it for 1 year? Will we be given the opportunity to make an election for that year? I have less confidence in that because what I see happening in our local FSA offices across the state of Ohio is they are really, really, really short-staffed, and I'm not sure they have the manpower currently to be able to let everybody have a new election if they extend the current Farm Bill. So I'm of the opinion that I think our current Farm Bill will, whatever election we've made, will be in if it's extended. But I'm saying right now, in my opinion, we have a 50-50 shot of whether we have a new one or extended one at this point.
Okay, what are some other things you're hearing out of the Farm Bill talk? Been kind of quiet, I know, because
It has been quiet. You know, like I said, we had some Farm Bill listening sessions across the state. I know there was farmers that came into those not as well attended as I had hoped. We had one down in Chillicothe, where I call home, and there was a dozen people in the room, and out of the dozen, I would say six of them were actual farmers. The rest of us were supporting the agriculture industry, and so Farm Bureau, Extension, Soil and Water were there, and so...
So kind of quiet.
Kind of quiet.
Maybe
questions.
Question. You notice there's a little delay there when we start to talk over each other. That's probably a good way. It mutes you until the other person is done talking, so that's probably good. Questions on Farm Bill from anybody that's out escaping the rain?
Well, David, knowing you well enough, I'm surprised I've had a chance to talk.
I know. See, look, it doesn't pick me up. You've rigged these mics this year, so I can't interrupt you as much. Any questions from our audience on Farm Bill? It's that exciting.
It is that exciting. It really is. I mean, when you look at the amount of money that the Farm Bill has put into the ag economy, research coming out of Illinois showed that Ohio was one of the big winners with the 2014 Farm Bill, and they were comparing 2014 Farm Bill payments to date relative to the old DCP direct payments, and we're about 200% of what we were getting under direct payments. And so there were other states across the country that were not winners, if you will, or didn't gain. And so, you know, Ohio needs to think about that, you know, our farmers here got significantly more cash flow from this Farm Bill. Now, it's going to end with the Ark County payment. We'll get our 16 payment here this fall. For Ross County, I calculated it. We're somewhere around $64 on corn. We're $25-$26 on beans. $40-some dollars on wheat if we are in Ark County, or $55 in PLC on wheat. And so our farmers are going to get a pretty significant program payment coming here in October for 2016. Now, the math right now, looking forward, 2017, that becomes zero for corn, depending on bean price. I mean, the less corn goes under $3, then it'll kick in again. We hope we're not going to go there. But time will tell.
And I had a question in my brain, but because you wouldn't let me talk, I couldn't get it out fast enough. I guess the question is, yeah, it was favorable to us, but where are our director, the Secretary of Agriculture is from Georgia, the Farm Bureau president's from Georgia, and doesn't that give you trepidation when it comes to a Farm Bill when your leaders are from the South, which traditionally likes to funnel money to the peanuts and cotton? What are your thoughts on that as a Midwesterner?
Well, usually it would be, but I think Sonny Perdue knows what's going on across the country. But what I think is more interesting, and again, I've had many conversations with Carl. I've also met Joe Outland down from Texas A&M. He's kind of their Farm Bill guru. Anyway, and as you look at this, the House kind of listens to the South, and the Senate listens to the North, or to the Midwest, if you will. And so, you know, you start thinking about that. If you want to pay attention to what the conversation is happening in terms of the Farm Bill as it affects the Midwest, we really need to listen to what the Senate is saying in D.C. rather than what the House is saying, because the House is going to look more at the cotton, the peanuts, and the rice, and the sugar, and the southern crops.
So good for us, right?
Yep, good for us.
All right.